Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voices of the Earth. It is February 25th, 2015, the second month of 2015, nearly at an end. The wheel of the year seems to be picking up speed. And for those of us under the blanket of snow and icicles as lovely as they are, and as many snow people and snow forts and sleigh rides and all of those good things that one can do in this winter wonderland, we are getting, thank you, Punxsutawney Phil, just a little bit tired. I am your host, not entirely disenchanted yet with winter. I am Carol Omart Behan, welcoming you to this really inspiring show that lies ahead of us in this hour with Loann Mayer, author of quite a story from her own life and her work as a result, Celestial Conversations. I look forward to welcoming Loann in just a few minutes. But a few things, especially for people who are new listeners to the program. If you are one of those live listeners and a first-time listener, you get a few extra points. There you are, adding or throwing them over in your direction. This program, Voices of the Earth, is a call-in radio show for people who are listening live, and we will invite calls with questions, reactions, later in the program. Since Loann, we're going to give her the whole of the stage for a good first part of the show to talk about her story and her work in the world. Voices of the Earth began its journey, its presence on the cyber radio network last May, and it has been quite the amazing journey with so many wonderful guests, so many wonderful programs, people's work in the world, which celebrates and helps to bring further healing to the living web of Gaia, of our beautiful Earth home. As your host, I have a website which will tell you more about this program, and there is an archive page with all of the programs in order of their airing. Going backwards, though, so you have to go backwards in time as you go down through the page. That website is goldenspiraljourney.com. It will also show you some of the other things that I do in the world before I became an international radio show host. And yes, I've been heard a time or two across the pond in England by some friends that I have there. But as a writer and a teacher of Earth wisdom through Labyrinth and through Sacred Pilgrimage, there are things that I invite you to look at and find out more about. But it is on Wednesdays, nearly everyone, with a few breaks, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and a creative retreat time or two, that I have held forth at 7 p.m. Eastern and all the way across to the West Coast, 4 p.m. Pacific, to have these marvelous people come forward and share their work in the world. So here we are tonight. I'm going to be soon. Let me give you a little introduction, Loann, before I unmute your mic. Loann Mayer, a person I've had the pleasure of meeting once and look forward to having more opportunities face-to-face to spend time with her. She is a teacher, a healer for 30-plus years at this point, a wife and mother of so many wonderful children in this world through their marriage. She is a student of nutrition, charismatic healing, therapeutic touch, mind-body connection, various forms of meditation. She's a student of A Course in Miracles and Edgar Cayce, as well as a Reiki master. She is a certified teacher of Louise Hay's Healing Your Life course. The story that you're going to hear tonight is what she is doing, I think, and she could correct me if I'm wrong, but what she has really immersed herself in since her own life experiences of 2004 and 2005, when first the loss of her mother and then the loss of her adult daughter gave her such pause, such journey through deep grief of these sad and tragic losses. She found a way through journaling to bring healing and resolution to these times for herself, and brought these all together in a wonderful book, Celestial Conversations, Healing Relationships After Death. But that was just the beginning. So, Lo Ann Mayer, with that much, I trust you're hearing me now. Thank
yes.
you so much. I'm honored to welcome you to Voices of the Earth. Good evening.
Oh, thank you, Carol. What a joy to be able to connect with you again and to remember our times before and to start a future together, because I do see what you're doing is such a parallel to what I am doing in my little genre of healing grief, and I'm so delighted to be here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, and we already have a person who has called in, and I thank you, caller, for doing so. I will tell you this, and for those who, this is, again, a new experience for the call-in number, and this person seems to know their way forward. I will say this, and actually I was going to say something, Lo Ann, as I was doing a little bit of housekeeping. Blog Talk Radio, who carries the show, they have changed things around a little bit on the show's links. So if it's not obvious, especially if this is a podcast listen that you're giving it, I'm hoping that everything will remain clear. It's a new setup. But for listeners live with us tonight, the call-in number, so that you can use it later, is the following. It is 805-292-0349. That number should be on the screen somewhere for you to look at. But I'm also going to tell you this. It's very important, because on occasion I forget myself. If you call in later on to speak with Lo Ann and myself, you need to press 1 once you're into the queue. Otherwise, I won't be able to unmute your phone line to have you speak with us. So I'm saying that out loud now. So I've had before, I keep trying to get somebody on, and it just hasn't worked. So I know that we will have a person or two, I'm sure, and maybe more, who would love to have some time with you. Lo Ann, this book, and I have had the pleasure of reading it through, and in the last few days I've revisited my reading of that. Why don't you start by giving us this story? There will be people, of course, who hear this who know little or nothing other than the title, Healing Relationships After Death, Celestial Conversations. So we'll sit back here now and have you share with us
happy to do that, Carol. And because I think that those people who are going through grief know very well, as I learned, that grief is a process, it's not an event. And so as you have an experience that shoots you right into the deep well of grief, you need many, many tools in the process of recovering and healing. I was one of those people that I thought I knew, because I had been teaching healing for 25 years prior to my mother's death. And I will tell you and those who are listening that even though you may have lost someone and feel like you didn't finish your business with them for whatever reason, as I did, I discovered with the help of my mother and my daughter that love penetrates the veil of death. And so if we ask for help, we can get it. And that's what I did. I had a very, very contentious relationship with my mother up until the day she died. And even though I had been able to help many people, as you have, Carol, I just could not reach my mother. And I was feeling very down about it when she died, except for the fact that she gave me this incredible gift of being a witness to her death. She almost like opened the door and let me peek through to the other side in the last hour of her death. As she noticed something in the upper right-hand corner of the room, as she began to talk to whomever was there, no one I could see, of course, but I actually witnessed her sitting up at a 45-degree angle after being in bed for a long period of time, and her whole face lit up. Just like when she saw her first grandchild, it was just extraordinary. And she went, oh, 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 as if she had seen a miracle. And then she lay down and died, just like mm-hmm. that. No fuss, no muss, just lay down. It's almost as if, you know, that show Touched by an Angel, she
yes.
left her body
yes,
on the bed and walked out the door. And I was like, wait just a minute here, because I was trained in hospice. I had been trained in meditation and angel work. I knew a lot of things theoretically, as we all do, that I thought I could figure this out, but I really couldn't. And I was so down that I wasn't able to figure out what happened there, and more importantly, why we never connected when she was alive. And it plagued me. It plagued me a lot. Over the next year, I had a lot of family drama. We have six children, and there was a lot of drama playing out during the year, not the least of which was a grandson who was diagnosed with cancer. So it was all in the back of my mind, you know, like, why didn't I make that connection before she died? And because I felt there was no connection possible after she died, it was very, very hard for me. But one of my friends, who is a hospice volunteer as well, mentioned that I might benefit from journaling. And he said, you're a writer. Why don't you just get it all out of your head and put it on paper? And so I thought about that. And I also thought about all these books that everybody in your audience has probably read, like I have, about people who were aware of the husband or the child or the brother or the sister who had passed on and seemed to come back to help them sell the house or feel at peace with their loss or tell them where they died if they were in the military, all these things which are very evident to many ordinary people. And so I decided I would get myself a journal, but instead of just writing my thoughts, I would write to my mom. And I did. And I wrote her a letter asking her to help me understand what happened to us along the path of our gathering together as a family. Because as a teacher, Louise Hay teacher particularly, I knew that all the angst that I carried about our relationship was poisoning me, was not making me the wonderful, bright, joyful person that I wanted to be, because I had all this criticism and guilt and all this stuff plaguing me. So I asked her if it was possible, if she could please help me to let go of my own stuff. And I did it in a very, very ritualistic way. I'm a great believer in the power of prayer and use it a lot. I'm a great believer in meditation. I prayed my prayer. I meditated. I picked up the journal and I wrote this letter to my mom, and it was just free-flowing, as if I was talking to you, you know. And then just as I got to the end of it, the phone rang, and I thought, I wonder. Mm-hmm. And so I put the phone down. I went about my business. You know, somebody forgot their lunch or whatever. And then 2 days later, I decided this day I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to take the phone off the hook as a sign to the universe that I really wanted to make this connection. And I did. I did my prayer, my meditation. I put pen to paper. And you know what, Carol? I wrote Dear Loann.
Oh.
I still get chills thinking about it because
yeah,
I wrote it.
It gives me chills
exactly
as you say it, and I've read it in the book. Yeah.
It was wonderful. Well, but it was exactly the way my mother wrote my name. All my life, I've written LOANNE. My mother never, ever, ever wrote it that way. She always wrote LOANNE. And I wrote it that way. Because I was so focused on the word, I just continued to put the words down on paper. And in this letter, which my mother wrote back to me, I believe now, she shared that she had been trying to get through to me too, and that my guilt, my negativity was keeping her from getting through to me to help me. And so she was thrilled to be able to write with me. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't tell a living soul. I was sure that I would either be kicked out of my church or I would be told that there was something wrong with me. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And I continued to write daily, months, back and forth with which what I call celestial conversations with my mother, told nobody. And it was so helpful to me because I learned things about my mother that I never thought I would ever hear, like the fact that she was on lots of medication when she died. I didn't know that because she wasn't with me. And the reason she was acting so suspicious and difficult over a period of time had a lot to do with the medications that she was on. And yet it was so amazing. As I heard her write these, I heard, and wrote what I heard.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, well, of course she was like that. And you could just feel the onion peeling, you know. I was feeling lighter. I was feeling less judgmental. I was feeling much more positive about our relationship. And it was delightful. Didn't tell anybody. Nobody. And then I decided, you know what, this writing is fun. So I would go to your favorite place with Emily Hanlon, by the way, which I don't know if you know, to Glastonbury, England,
yes,
for a writer's conference. And while I was there, I was so delighted to be in the land of Camelot, in the land of King Arthur and the Chalice Well. Oh, my gosh, I can just, you can just put me right back there. And anybody who's lucky enough to go with you, Carol, to this enchanted place, they just can't imagine how beautiful it is to be in that place. So I wanted to tell everyone. You know, I called my husband, and I knew he was at my other daughter's house. And as I called, I had put all this change together, and I called, and I just battled on, you know, about, oh, this is so wonderful. And then my daughter, Diane, kept saying to me, Mom, stop, stop, I got to talk to you, stop. And then finally she said, Mother, Cindy is dead. Cindy is our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the change just went right down into the phone, and I thought, oh, she couldn't possibly have said that. I mean, what could that have been? Because Cindy was the mother of an autistic child, really at the cutting edge of autism when it was just being introduced, and also another brilliant young boy. They were just wonderful, wonderful kids, and she was the best mother I'd ever met. So the fact that she could be dead just made no sense to me at all. So my friend next to me gave me change. I called back, and indeed, Cindy had died. And she had died under very unusual circumstances. She had died very quickly. The authorities were saying it was a suicide, which, again, didn't make any sense. And so I was brought home. And when I got home, I found out that nobody knew anything, not anything, about what happened to her. She was found alone in her bed at home. The children had been taken by her husband. They were in the midst of a divorce. So I wrote to my mom. I figured, I've got to know. And I know if there are people out there listening to you, that there are many, many parents who have the exact same question that I had if they've lost a child. The parental attitude is my baby okay? I needed to know that she was all right. And who better to ask than my mother, whom I now trusted after 5 months of writing. And she wrote in the book, and it is in the book that I finally wrote, that Cindy was with them, that she was surrounded by help, that she had all the love around her. She couldn't even imagine how much love could be around her. And that they were all with us too, my family and my husband. And as I wrote those words, in the journal, I could feel the energy of my mother's truth.
Oh.
And some people would say, how did you know? I knew. There was a knowing that this was my mom, that she is telling me something that no one else can tell me. And it was so soothing in this time of crisis. So as I began, you know, the 5 months of practice allowed me to feel that she was right there. And as I wrote with my mother and talked with my mother, just on the very day that Cindy died, Cindy also jumped into her letter and told me what happened. And in fact, she had taken medication, although she said she didn't remember taking it. It was brand new. She just picked it up. She did what they said they did, and it was a momentary mistake and an accident. And I say that to anyone who's in your audience. If you've had any child, anyone you know who's has been told that they committed suicide, I would say to you, think again. A momentary mistake is the way Cindy said. I just wanted to go to sleep and stop the pain. And she went to sleep and didn't come back. So the whole time that I was working on this journaling, this celestial conversations journaling, I was asking questions of my mother, my daughter, everybody, help me understand and help me not to become dark. over this, because it would have been so easy. You know, those of us who have lost people in tragic circumstances, it's so easy to blame the person that you think did this to me or to them. It's so easy to judge, and it is so hard to forgive. Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, that was the constant message from my mother. You know, mm-hmm. forgive everybody. Forgive yourself. Forgive the people that I was blaming for her death. Forgive. Forgiveness is the secret of mm-hmm. healing your heart. And then I say, so how do you do that? Mm-hmm. Not easily, right? And so from my experience with these letters and these things that I feel are so important to me, I began to try to forgive. I tried to work on the forgiveness angle. I thought I knew. I really did. I thought I knew. You know, when you study the mind, body, spirit or metaphysical journeys, it's or any kind of religion, it always comes back to forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But there's forgiveness in the book, and there's forgiveness in the heart. And yes. I was pounded by my mother constantly that to make sure that I practiced and focused on the mountain top of forgiveness, or I would never heal. Mm-hmm. And I have done that. It's been 10 years since Mom died now, and I have done this in the way that I have been coached, I guess is a good word, by my mom, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. later on by my daughter, who said exactly the same thing, that mm-hmm. forgiveness is the key to God's love, and that love is the only thing that passes through the veil.
Yeah.
So not to worry about the coulda, woulda, shouldas, or the blame, or whatever the people did, because all the love that is surrounding all of us all the time is often wasted, because we're so busy judging. One of the things my mother said here is, do not blame yourself or anyone. She, meaning Cindy, sees she wrote her own story. She accepts that with deep wisdom. Paint her final physical story with love and peace and healing. Let that be her legacy. Nothing else matters now. I heard that many, many times. I wrote it many times. And every time I wrote it, I would ask the same thing. How in the world does one do that? But every time I tried, I realized that I was, in fact, a bit lighter than I was before. And I would start with myself, you know, that I wasn't there when Cindy died, that I wasn't able to help my mother, even though I could help other people. Forgiving myself was my first lesson, which continues and continues to this day. But the forgiveness aspect I'm learning now as I look at the 6 o'clock news and all the things that are going on in the world is really, as they suggest, the bottom line common denominator of human beings. We need to learn to let go of our stuff and allow the love to flow back and forth. And it has been a PhD in forgiveness.
Wow. Just that, it just in all that you have shared so eloquently and movingly, that would have been a story that would have inspired friends and family, as I know it did, as you came to a point of wanting to share it. But my next question is the fact that you chose at some point, and you don't have to necessarily say why, unless you'd like to, but then something obviously nudged you to bring it together in the covers of a book. And but maybe we do need to know a little bit, because from there, here we are tonight. But in addition, we'll be talking and having you describe the work that you do to help people to begin to do their own processing, develop their toolkit, and work through these losses too. So I'll go back to mm-hmm. get you where it was. What?
Right.
Where, yeah, the birthing
well,
of
it wasn't
book.
A what, it was a who.
Oh, okay.
It was a who.
Who.
I, as Cindy died, I used all the traditional things that many people do, you know, the grief counseling, the compassionate friends, all those things that I knew and were offered to me. I took advantage of them, and I urge other people to do the same thing. But I continued for with my Celestial Conversations journaling because it really got deep into what I needed, where the others were helpful but not as helpful. So my grief counselor actually was the one who said to me, what do you write in these journals? And I told her, I write what I hear or what it seems to be impressed on my mind. And it seemed that I read it, and it seems to help me to peel off all this angst that I'm carrying. And she said to me, Loanne, if you ever get around to writing a book, I have clients that would love to hear how to do this. So that was the beginning. And, of course, my first reaction was, no way. There's no way I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Number one, I'd never written a book. And number two, it was just entirely too personal and painful for me to even think about putting it in a book. However, another person came along and said to me, Loanne, it might heal you even faster if you wrote this as a story for other people. And she said, if you write it, I'll edit it. She was an editor. So I decided I would consider seriously doing that. But before I did that, I actually invited people to do workshops because I had no idea if anybody else could do this because I didn't tell anyone.
Yes,
it was
right.
A secret. So I started inviting people who were comfortable with the idea of the other side being a world of love and concern for those that they left behind. And I did probably 20 different workshops with other people, both in New Jersey and here in Texas, where we are now, just to get a feel for how could this work for other people. And as I learned from them how it helped them, then I thought, you know what, if these people can benefit, maybe there are people I'll never get to meet who would benefit by a book. And so the book was born 2 years ago, actually, in December in 2012. And it has now become an audiobook, an ebook. And I really am beginning to understand that people are in need of this particular screwdriver in the toolkit of healing grief. Mm-hmm. And it's such a legacy for my mom and my daughter. I never in my life would have thought it. So thanks to Susan, I do workshops. In fact, just today someone, the Unity Church, just asked me if they could sponsor a workshop out here in Georgetown. And I am so thrilled because people, when they get information that lets them let go, which is a better word than forgive, by the way, let go of the stuff that they have, then they can move on, too, and it makes their world lighter and it helps them begin to forgive on a daily basis, which I'm just thrilled about. So that has led me to do workshops for, 4 years now.
Wow. Well, a good point at which to direct people to, and again, I'm not quite sure about how things are appearing or not on the show's link. So for certain, within this broadcast, to direct people to your website with all its lovely availability of many things, and it is the title of the book, CelestialConversations.com. Also, contact information, of course, is people who are hearing this now or whenever it is they hear it may well be interested in contacting you about whatever it might be, arranging a program or simply conversing with you in some fashion, et cetera. And the riches of the site, opportunities to order a copy of the book, and as you say, it's just been released as an audio book. Also, a meditation that you share on your website. It is a beautiful website for people to follow up. And I know there's another part of it, a new part that we'll talk about in a short while. But I will say at this point, as we're about the halfway mark, that if any of you hearing us live would like to call in, a time is more appropriate now from here to the top of the hour to give us a call, but probably sooner rather than later, so we can include you on the show, bring you on the air. That number, as a reminder, is 805, and usually the 1-1-805-292 1-800-273-0349. Do call in with a question or your reaction, and remember, and you'll be prompted to do so, to press 1. So that I'll set aside, and let's see. Where has your thought process gone to in this little housekeeping moment that I've
seen? Well, there's just one more part of the forgiveness that I think is very important that my mother wrote to me, and I think it's something that while they're thinking about forgiveness as a huge mountain, I think she describes this in the way that I've used it, and it might be of some value to people out there. I've met quite a few out here in Texas who have found it valuable. She says, "When I was alive, I didn't understand the power of forgiveness, but believe me, it is the most powerful tool of human beings. Don't underestimate the intention of forgiveness. Just be willing to forgive every little thing, the way someone speaks to you or doesn't, the way someone ignores you, the way someone gives you unwelcome advice, the way someone judges you. Every little thing forgiven takes away a piece of the huge boulder that weighs so heavily on your heart. When I was alive, I collected items to be forgiven and held them as my personal treasure. I couldn't let go. What a waste. I'm telling you from my heart, don't collect injustices. Let each one go like picking weeds from a garden. And that's where I am now. Just when things happen, I turn that over to the good Lord and say, please help me to forgive, to let go of this, not to carry this." And I think it's a great lesson for the world at this moment in time.
Yes, I heartily agree, and even more so than just that statement. And so what, among other things, of the wonders of this and the incredible blessing is that the healing went from you to her and she to you, and then it's just radiating out in so many amazing and wonderful ways. You've been doing these workshops, and do you have something called, did I see this, Celestial Circles? Is that also, or is that, those are the workshops?
Those are the workshops. They're called Celestial Circles. I usually do it in a circle. There's one thing really good about the workshops, I think, and like it's true of meditation or anything else that is worthwhile. When you gather into groups, there's a certain safety net of people talking about the fact that they, you know, heard something from their mother or their father, or they got some information that's valuable, and they can talk about it. I know how that is because I didn't talk about it in the beginning. And so to create that environment of saying, look, this is what happened, and this is easier for me now to let go of, and to know that that's a good conversation to have in the group can be very valuable. And it also helps other people to know that after they leave my workshops, wherever they are, that they can meet that person who they connected with in the workshop and have coffee once a week and say, you know what, this is really helping me let go of the stuff that I'm carrying. So I love the circles, the workshops, the meditation that you mentioned. I would say to people, if you go on the website, that meditation is downloaded for free if anybody needs it. We get a lot of hits on that. But that is the meditation that I use when I do my journaling. And it's also the meditation that I use after prayer. I don't put the prayer up that I use because everyone has their own way of connecting with the good Lord. So they need to find their own way. But I do recommend it because this is not looking into the ethers. This is a holy moment. The reason for doing this is totally for the purpose of healing a broken heart.
Yes, and you and I, of course, spoke earlier in the day, and we've been communicating email-wise for a little while as we put this evening together, and we both know so well, apart from whoever's listening live, whoever is listening, it's radiating out, and this is something that, I guess I'm led to say, has it? You had your own incredibly challenging and grievous experience, but has it prized you how common, maybe this is how widespread, and we all suffer loss, and it's always to say goodbye to loved ones is always hard. But when there are things that are unresolved, so have you been surprised at the popularity is not the right word, but the need for this.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, when you, and that's true of everyone who's grieving. At first, I just had two relatives in the last 2 weeks who've lost children and parents and so forth. But I think when you're in the midst of grief, you don't realize how many people are also in the midst of grief. When I was doing some research, I discovered that in the United States alone, Carol, over 2 million people every year lose a loved one. Knowing that grief goes on and on and on. I mean, it's not over by Thursday. So you have this collective consciousness of grief that people are trying to find their way through and heal from.
Right.
And there are lots of ways to do that. But I also have connected, and I told you about the International Grief Council that
yes,
I have
lovely
worked
to hear
with.
About that. Yes.
It really shows that grief is epidemic around the world right now. And I met two women who have written wonderful books. Daniela Norris, who has written many books, but the one that I was asked to endorse was on dragonfly wings. And Daniela was born in Israel and had a life-changing experience when her brother got in touch with her after her death, and it changed Daniela's life and perspective on life after death enormously. She writes about it beautifully. And she also said to me on occasion, she said, I don't understand why the Americans have such a difficult time discussing grief. In Europe, it is part and parcel of our discussions. At the same time, I met this lovely lady by the name of Uma Girish, who had written a book, born in India, written a book about the difficulty of the grief that she had trying to help her parents get through their final illnesses and die while she was in the United States. So this disconnect of trying to figure out how to get through the grieving when she didn't even know anybody here. So the three of us have decided that we would like to bring a conversation about grief to the table here in the United States. And so we put up a website called internationalgriefcouncil.org, which anyone is welcome to take a look at. We just put it up in December, and our intention is to bring the conversation about grief to ordinary people, to give them a nest to talk about it, and to give them some tools that we've learned that have brought us from complete desolation to extraordinary hope to incredible soul expansion. And for me, particularly, the love of God that is on the other side of the veil that I had no clue was there. So we are looking forward to doing a program in the New Jersey, New York area in late September. And we are also looking forward to sharing what we have learned with people who feel that grief is, you know, is the end of everything. In every one of our cases, grief was the beginning of something extraordinary. And we feel that they have a right to know that.
Oh, absolutely. And when I think of a story of my journey and how, and I can't think which of the lovely women you mentioned said that in the U.S. we do not deal well with this, with grief, that I was hoping it had gotten somewhat better. My own story of grief goes back to when I was 16, and our very beloved father was taken ill and passed on in a relatively short time. And it was all those years ago, 1965, and it's a lovely, lovely support of people in a sense of giving us their sympathies and all of that. But then there was there was no grief counseling for teenagers, and I was 16, et cetera. It unresolved things that you just carry forward through all those years if you are not fortunate enough to find your way to a healing and things of this sort. So grief can be so deeply technically buried, but probably not, because it's simply it's never gone away if you haven't worked through these processes.
It's like a broken heart. I mean, it or a broken bone. it comes back together, but and in some cases it can be even stronger than it was before. But unless the festering that's underneath, in my case, my judgment, my criticism, my resentments, all those things that I carry because of the death of my mother and my daughter, if I had continued to carry them, and my mother's very quick to tell me that, it would have not given me the opportunity to grow into the person that I am today. I would have gone a different road. My daughter says to me, and that's something that some people would find interesting, is that this was a karmic connection that we had, she and I, and that if it weren't for her death, hers in particular, following so closely after my mother's, I would never have written the book. I would never be doing what, I wouldn't be on this phone.
Wow.
So there is a possibility that some of these people that are teaching us things that we can only learn because they leave us to learn. Having said that, I have to tell you one of the things that my mother said that I think is so fascinating to me. Now, my mother was a cradle Catholic, so some of this is really still boggles my mind that she would actually write this. But this is something that I believe, that I've come to believe. She writes, "The peace of God is the ultimate goal for everyone. I never found it on earth. Very few humans make that goal important to them. Very few people ask for help to achieve that goal. They search, but they forget that help is at their fingertips. You are aware. Very few people on your path recognize how lovely and important a gift it is to be asked to help another human being achieve their goal before they cross over." Now, she's talking from the other side here.
Yes.
"Everyone here benefits as we all work to support your journey. If only everyone on earth knew how much could be achieved by working towards a common goal, the peace of God."
A huge, huge, huge message for us individually and as a collective of souls having our spiritual journeys here on earth.
Yes. And this is really a fascinating
spirit having our human
journeys.
I sometimes get that backwards. Yes, having our human experience and our soul journeys. Absolutely. And in the time, I mean, I look forward, and as we talked about earlier in the day today, the program that's just birthed with you and remind me of the names again, just so we hear them again.
Daniela Norris is the one lady who lives now in France, and Uma Garish, who now lives in Chicago.
And
we will be getting together in New Jersey. So we covered a lot of territory.
Oh, wow. My goodness sakes. But this is the... This work that you are doing and birthing, it is... The timing is... probably is never more needed for this, et cetera. And so we will carry your work forward. And I am sure... Your mom is smiling broadly, along with your daughter. I know my own mother, who passed in a very peaceful way in 1999, has continued to be a peaceful passing. And I, other than just grieving the fact that she was no longer in the physical, we haven't missed a beat really in terms of our connection in so many respects. But it is an increasing sense to me, and this program only serves to underline that the web of love is, and you've said this earlier in several ways, the idea of love pierces this veil, and it has never been more needed here on the beautiful planet that we share.
Yes. Yes,
and the
love,
opportunity
and
to
really,
do so.
That's all there is love. There's nothing else. Everything else is just junk, you know? And so part of my daughter's message to me is that I need to work as much as possible to gather as much love to bring with me when I go. And typical daughter saying to me, "Listen, Mom, you better get moving because you don't have that much time." And I don't mean it wasn't meant unkindly. It's meant to, you know, focus on what it is you do want. And we want our children.
Want.
We have 13 grandchildren, Carol. I want them to live in a world of love.
Yes.
I don't want them to be panicked by the 6 o'clock news. I want them and all the children in the planet to enjoy the love that they deserve here and to know that they are loved. And that's the ultimate goal of healing grief, is to get back to the place where you can be total unconditional love.
Well, I'm going to pause once more to invite any listeners, and this is sort of your last invitation. So if you have a sense, and it's a very easy process, it's just literally a phone talk with Loanne and myself. So if you're hearing us and would like to just follow that instinct to call, again, a reminder that it's 1-805-292-0349. There has been a person who's been hearing us all of this time, and caller in 973. I know you've been enjoying this program in your ear, and I'm very glad to have you here. If there's something you'd like to bring to our attention of a comment or a question, what I need you to do, if indeed you're waiting to make this, is to press 1. So there it is. And again, for listeners of its podcast, this show's podcast, contact information is available to Loanne through her website, celestialconversations.com. There is a link on this show's page, best I know. At least I'm seeing it here. Oh, there we go. We've encouraged a caller, Loanne. And then the other website, internationalgriefcouncil.org. If indeed, caller in 763 area code who's just come along. Oh, here we are. Okay, I'm seeing this. And a new caller who's just come online. So 97, you will need to press 1 as well. I'm going now to area code 973. And just clearing your mic. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Voices of the Earth and Loanne Mayer. Go right ahead.
Hi, it's Joan from Morristown. Hi, Loanne.
Hello. Hello. How wonderful to hear your voice.
Yes, how wonderful this program is. And I just want to share that you've helped so many people and you continue doing this. And you have a beautiful white light around you. Mm-hmm. And we just love your work and love your programs, and just continue doing this wonderful work. You're needed.
Mm-hmm.
And as a
thank you, Joan.
And as a friend, I support you.
Oh. Thank you so much.
Oh, Joan, that is beautiful. You've given me goosebumps.
Oh, my goodness. I will get off the line now and let other people share.
Okay. Well, Joan, thank you so much for the call. And if you are you the one who's been listening right through then, right via the phone?
Yes, I am.
Yep, okay, good. Yeah, I saw you, and I've had another person on another show with a similar area code, and I obviously it wasn't you. It's someone from your lovely neck of the woods, though. All right, Joan, thanks so much again, and have a good evening. I'm going to go now to...
Okay.
Good
night.
Very good. Good night. And off we are to area code 763. Hello, caller, and if you could start by simply saying your name. Welcome.
Welcome, Carol. It's Marilyn.
Marilyn. Hello. Yeah. Marilyn, friend of mine, and I love that you've come on the phone to speak to Loanne. Loanne, here is a dear friend of mine, Marilyn, from Michigan.
Oh, happy to meet you. Happy to meet you, Marilyn.
Same to you, Loanne. I haven't been on for probably a good 5 weeks because I've just been too busy, but I love the statements that you made about very few people achieve peace. And the common goal is the peace of God. And those are statements that people need to hear daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the word grief, and the interesting thing is I have two friends right now celebrating, not really celebrating, but it's the fourth anniversary of losing their sons. One was got hit by an automobile,
mm-hmm.
but that he was a street person, and the other one took his life. And so the anniversary of that has come up. And the interesting thing is the one called about dreams and how she had a dream the other day. And she's very connected with the dreams of that happened. And I said to her, well, I think that's Greg just letting you know that he's there.
I agree with you, Marilyn. I agree. So many people bring that up in workshops, that they see them in the dreams. Mm-hmm.
In the dreams. And then the other person said she's had the first good dream in 4 years just this past week. And that was the one with the loss of a son, not so nicely.
Yes.
I hope if she hears this that she forgives me for even bringing it up. But the thing of it is that grief is not easy. And as the person on the outside, as a friend supporting them, you don't always know what to say except to be a good listener and to ultimately love them right where they're at.
That's true. That's true. One thing I would say to you that I hear across the board, though, from people like myself who've lost a child in particular, is to remember to say things that you remember about them that were good memories.
And I'm
saying that to the audience. I have a feeling you already know that.
But
that's something that sometimes people forget, that they just love to hear the sound of their name.
Oh, right. And I get teased a lot because my brother reminds me I'm my mother, and her name was Inga.
Uh-huh.
And when she's been gone for 15 years ago, Valentine's Day. And the first few years she was gone, and then off and on since then, on her birthday I would make a cake with whipped cream and strawberries, and we would celebrate life. And I think that is the thing that is I'm seeing more of every single day. Instead of grieving the death, they're celebrating the life. And I know that's not even, it's not easy when the circumstances aren't the aging process or stuff like that, when it's a horrible death and not expected, you know, lots of different reasons why people go ahead of us. The other thing that I thought about was, what about the grief on a daily basis? And that you go through just losing a friend, not passing on, but just because of circumstances, or the person is maybe mean or rude or not nice anymore. And your statement about letting go and forgive, the key is forgiveness. And that is probably one of the hardest things for people to do, including myself sometimes.
I agree.
How do you forgive? How do you forgive when a person continually comes back with another one? And I've found the only way to get that peace, that passes all understanding, is just pray for the person and then just not talk to them as often anymore. So then, when you do it, and you do see them, it's you can be peaceful about it. But
I think everybody does different things. I know it depends on how deeply you've been hurt. But one of the things that I do with people who have hurt me deeply is that I picture them as babies crying. And it's very easy, you know, babies who cry because, you know, sometimes when you pick up a little one and they're still screaming, crying for their mother, and their mother's the one holding them, you know, that kind of thing. That sometimes they're just lost in their own fear and their own tears. And so for me now, not always and not every day, but I try to let go as it comes along. And, you know, if somebody says something, and that's so much easier than the hurt of, for instance, a child who commits suicide. I just had a call last week from someone and forgiving themselves for not seeing the signs. I can identify with that, or not saving them. But as you do one thought at a time, that's what I did. The thought that I wasn't home, and working on forgiving that little issue and working on letting that go to the point where it's no longer, I know it was part and parcel of our karmic situation, but it takes practice. What is it they say? You want to go to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
How do you get there?
Right. And that's very, very true.
Thank you, Marilyn. That's so kind of you to share
Marilyn,
your thoughts.
Thank you. I do have one more caller for us to bring on. And Marilyn,
Thank you so much for calling in. Great, as always, to hear your voice and for your lovely comments. So
okay. Well, thank
all
you,
right,
Linda. I'm gonna buy your book and share it with a couple of friends.
You will be delighted. CelestialConversations.com.
Yeah.
It'll get you right there. Okay, Marilyn.
Good night.
Have a nice
day. Bye bye. Did I say that? Did I tell you that, Carol?
I'll go ahead
Amazon.
And say that. And I've just muted her mic, and I'll bring on our last caller. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention that it's on. They're all the different books are on Amazon.
Oh
easy
yes.
To get.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. Caller in area code 518. We certainly have time for you. Welcome to Voices of the Earth and the show with Loanne Mayer. Let's have your name, please. Hello? Oops.
Hello?
Yes, there you are. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
can
we're
you
here.
Hello. Hello.
Oh,
hi.
It's Mary Kay.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
There you are. Mary Kay. These are lovely folks who are here.
I'm Mary Kay.
Welcome to the call. We've got time for
Thank
some comments
you.
And such. Don't feel too rushed.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to say thank you. This is just so timely for me. Luann, I'm in the process of grieving, you know, the loss of my mother about a year ago and then my brother about seven months ago. And, you know, I have been blessed, and one of the real breakthroughs, I think, for me was having a wise woman, you know, suggest that I journal. And, you know, the first part was my journaling, and then it was reversing it and having my mother speak with me, and it was just so profound. And,
oh,
you know,
good.
Her love came through so deeply. And it really helped me to begin to really let go of a lot of the garbage, you know, a lot of the guilt that I was holding.
Good
and, you know,
girl.
And it's still the process. But, you know, just hearing you speak tonight, I can so resonate with, you know, just the whole process and the feelings. And really it's encouraging me to continue to journal more. You know,
good.
And,
good.
You know,
good.
I am very much aware of my mother's presence, but I need to journal to really listen to her messages, and that's what I'm getting from you know, your sharing tonight. So I thank you very, very much. It's,
you're welcome.
Very
Mary
kindly,
Kate,
you know.
Is it Mary Kate? Is that your name, Mary Kate?
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay. I
very
just want to tell you that
Carol's.
it's 10 years now, and I am still journaling with my mom and my daughter, and I was just tonight reading some of the journals. I have 8, 10 of them now. I really find that the further I get back through my journals, away from the original date, the more information I glean, those like these little incredible wisdom gems that are there for me to look at again and again. And it also, for you, it shows my own evolving process of healing. So that's one of the reasons I push the writing because put the date down. By going back, I can see where I was when I was first up to my eyeballs in grief and not able to think straight, to where I am now in my efforts to ask, how do we help others? How do we move forward with this and make the world a better place? So I'm so glad to know you're there and you're doing that, and keep it up, because you will just
be
amazed.
I will. Yes, this is encouraging me to get back to it because I kind of let it go for a while. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Mary Kay, thank you for calling in, and your story is one I know, and I'm so glad to know that this process is one that is serving you well. And clearly, we all three know that this is going out to people who can benefit by involving themselves in this process. So with that, I will say, I'm looking to see. Okay, so Mary Kay, I'm going to leave it at that for us tonight. And Loanne's contact information is available. If you wanted to converse with her more, I'm sure she'd be glad to
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so good night to you, my friend Mary Kay.
Good night, Carol. Good night.
There we
Thank
are.
You.
Okay, bye-bye. And I see, and I'm looking to see, I'm trying to sort out, we may have
Oh, I should have written this down because I've got 297. We have two callers, and I'm going to go to each, and we'll keep them within a, you know, kind of a concise sort of time. So I'm going to the caller and area, and it might be Joan. We're just bringing you back on. I'm not quite sure, so we'll find this out. But in order to fit in these callers, and after this, I know we'll have to call it a day or a night. So caller in 973, there are two of you, but I'm going to the 267, whatever that first part is called, not the area code. So unmuting your mic. Hello. Is this Joan or is this our new person? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Is this Joan again?
I don't hear, it's me, Jan. I don't hear anyone.
Oh, okay. Then you know what? I'm thinking, all right. So we have one more caller in 973, and so just on the chance that, so anyway, we're just doing a little bit here with my muting and unmuting. So I have another caller in 973, and I'm going to unmute your mic and just be sure that we can include you in the program should you wish. Hello, you are on the air with Lo Ann Mayer and myself on Voices. Can you hear us?
Yes, I do. It's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, welcome to
Hi,
the
I,
show.
I've been listening to
Lo-Ann.
Your wonderful offering that is just so timely for everybody and so important, so full of good wisdom. And I had read the book, Lo-Ann, as you know, and you know, Carol, and I've got a lot out of that. But it was just a wonderful reminder of all the things that are most important that we all need to hear from time to time. And this was a good time for me. And I just thank you both for making this information available, for sharing your wisdom and your love and your care for all of us. And that's all.
You know, we have to thank you, Elizabeth, for connecting us. You're the the angel bridge here.
I'm
thank
delighted
you,
that that has worked out so well and made it possible for so many of us to benefit.
Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. It is just delightful to have you come on for these few minutes live with Lo-Ann and myself. So thank you for making this possible. It is indeed, as Lo-Ann said, the reason, a very, very true one, that the show has come to folks tonight. So thank you for your part.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Thank
and
you.
Thank
All
you
right.
both again. Love
You're
to both.
You're welcome. And good night.
Good night.
All right. Well, Lo-Ann,
That's the perfect way to end, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is divine. And these shows are so much that way. Is there something in the, and we don't need to because there's no gong that's going to gong us off. So I will invite any last comment on your end that you might like to just include as a reminder or your website or anything that comes to your thoughts as we reach this last part.
I'm thinking of reading something here that my daughter said for us at Christmas time, for my family. This is quite some time ago, right after she left, but I think it applies to all of us tonight. And you know that I believe it, and I know that you believe it. So let's share this. This
Excellent.
Was given to us in Christmas time after Cindy died. And she says, her message for our family and yours is to love each other more. Love those you call enemies. Love is never wasted. Speak your love. Treasure your love. Don't waste time on anything that is not love. Love is all there is, and time is wasting for all of us. So I think that's the culmination of the book itself, is that from my point of view, is that if we can get the difficulties, the forgiveness down pat, and move on to the unconditional love that all of us need, we have a good chance of not only healing grief, but giving hope to others that the world could be a loving place if we could just focus on it. And what you're doing, Carol, is helping that to be possible. You're sending that out to those people who maybe don't think it is possible, but you and I know it is. Sometimes you learn it the hard way, as I have, but we all know that the world is in need of great love. So hopefully this little book will allow people to think in terms of finding it through their own loved ones on the other side, but also to let people know that love is possible if we can just get beyond the angst that we carry in our hearts.
Right. Well, the gift of this conversation that you recorded so faithfully, so beautifully, that you've shared with us, of you with your mother and your daughter, and I sense their presence here very much, and those who I have loved who are there with them. The hopefulness that is arising through this program is so palpable to me, sitting here talking to you, and I am so deeply honored by all of this and your coming
Thank
to be
you.
A part of
me
the
too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is going to be a continued conversation, and people,
yes.
I look forward to people tuning back in. So I thank you again. The conversation will continue. So many blessings to you, Loanne, and to this continued conversation. So I bid you you're very welcome, and good night now.
Good night to you and to all of your friends out there.
Thank you. Bye. Bye for now. Wonderful, wonderful listeners. I sit here looking at this cyber screen, seeing the threshold that this offers. It's a luminous one. Through so many miracles that enable this communication of all sorts of all dimensions. It is an extraordinary journey that we have taken together in this hour. It is an extraordinary journey that brings this message to you beyond this night, which is, as I talk to you, literally this moment, the 25th February of 2015. It is a year full of potential and promise for healing, for holding, for joy. This program tonight and those that have preceded it, people bringing their stories to share as we listen to one another, as we share heart to heart our journeys. This is what brings the hope and what brings the healing. I thank you for being a part of it, even if I never know who it is that you are hearing us tonight and hearing this message. I wish you until next week, and there are an extraordinary series of women coming forward in the next few weeks. We're moving into Women's History Month and women's stories beyond this one. It is all our shared story that you and I are woven together through. So do return for our program with Louise Griffith next week, who will be talking how it is that you are worth it. So I do look forward to you tuning back in to hearing what it is Louise is meaning by this. I thank again from the deepest part of my heart Loanne's part in this program tonight. I thank you for being the listeners who receive this message. So with that, I wish you a good night underneath the starry sky and under Grandmother Moon who connects us all. I wish you a good week. And until it is that we hear one another again and tune in, please take good care. Namaste.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.